Hey everybody, again, it's been a break on podcasting. As I've said on other podcasts, several good reasons. Business is growing, life is crazy, summer is crazy, having fun. So lots of different things going on, but again, a much needed break from podcasting, but really enjoy you sticking around, and I know more fun content's to come. Today's going to be more of a discussion-based podcast where you get to hear me ramble and give you my thoughts on everything related to wellness, movement, rehab, training. We have some more fun interviews coming up. We have Perry Nicholson talking about vagus nerve and lymphatics. We have Dr. Askew coming to talk about foot-ankle dysfunction and kind of the orthopedic approach to foot-ankle dysfunction and how he manages patient care as he's a foot-ankle specialist. And even some more fun interviews coming down the road with physical therapist Andrew Millett out of the Boston area, who is the PT at Eric Cressy Sports Performance, talking about upper quarter athletes and overhead athletes. So more monologues, more fun content. Please follow, share, review. The more we can have people listen to this, ideally, the more people we can help. And that's, you know, the number one value that we have with this podcast and just our business overall. So what I want to be talking about today is basically the topic of it is calf Achilles pain. Think about your back. And the reason why I want to bring that up is I don't know if it's summertime where I've seen quite a few people with heel pain, Achilles pain, calf pain, calf tears, where, again, I'm not too sure if that's just because it's summertime and people are running more, being more active. I'm not sure if it's COVID related, where people are sitting on Zoom calls more, sitting at their desk more, and then going right into activity. And some of that postural inhibition, postural lack of mobility is driving it. But for whatever the cause is, I've been seeing more of this distal, lower extremity, itises, calf strains, swelling. So one of the biggest trends I've seen is I look at these people and your first inclination is, okay, let's look at their dynamic dorsiflexion or ankle bend. You initially think, okay, they've got some restriction back there, let's test. And you test and you look at both their dorsiflexions and you actually see that the involved one or the injured one, quote unquote, actually has just as much motion, if not more motion. So immediately you rule out that the issue is coming from a lack of dorsiflexion. You can also test plantar flexion as well. You maybe do another range of motion test and you want to make sure that they have, you know, good first ray extension, good plantar fascial mobility. You notice that there is a restriction there where you can say there's a difference side to side, but by no means does it come off as like an asterisk sign where the limitation in some of that plantar foot mobility is so bad that you think it would be causing a lot of Achilles swelling. You kind of, maybe if we take a step back and start with the subjective doesn't necessarily correlate to an Achilles-specific pathology. Usually that correlates, or the scenario you see if it's truly load dependent to the Achilles is a change in shoe wear, a dramatic increase in run volume, dramatic increase in maybe plyometric training, box jumps, sprinting, sleds, whatever it may be. You go through this objective, nothing's really changed there. And they'll often complain of heel pain, Achilles pain, even with sitting, first thing in the morning. Obviously, like, not so bad during the run, but post-run. Where again, if it's truly a local Achilles pathology, it's going to be load dependent. I load the Achilles, it hurts. If it's truly like a calf tear from a specific calf loaded movement, like, I don't know, a high speed change of direction that loads the calf, you can see it. But calf tears are usually more common in the recreational athlete versus the professional or, you know, higher level athlete. You don't usually see Jimmy the pro soccer player tear their calf that much. It's usually more hamstrings and like knee ligamentous injury. So it's very rare that you tear the calf solely from a sport specific movement. Usually there's contributing factors. And that's kind of the whole point of this podcast, right? So We've got a calf strain. We've got an Achilles issue. We have some swelling in that distal extremity. What's the true driver of it? What's the true cause? You're more often than not, again, I'm not saying all the time, but typically in the recreational or the more average Joe, that is stemming from something going on in the back or up the kinetic chain. And so what you'll notice, do this on your next person, test their hip extension range. I bet you it's limited. Test their glute strength. Typically ways we'll do that is like a single leg bridge test where they can hold one leg bridge, they can hold it with their glute recruited, minimal hamstring, low back, and hold it for a good period of time with good form. Maybe you're gonna be doing manual muscle testing. And you could test like a edge of bed hip extension, a prone extension, maybe an extension with external rotation, manual strength testing. I guarantee on that same side, you'll notice weakness. You then maybe look at global fascial restrictions, like toe touch, active straight leg raise, maybe just a supine hip flexion range. And you'll probably notice all on that involved side, they have general fascial restrictions. One other kind of cool thing to see is if you're a PT or whatever you're saying is, and you know your myotomes, is you'll find myotomes that correlate. So when they have calf issues, right, that's gastroc soleus, usually L5-S1, they'll have other inhibition or weakness on those same patterns. So that would be great toe extension, ankle eversion, hip abduction. Usually all those will be weak on that same side. So you think, okay, the hip's not moving, the hip's weak. We maybe have a facilitation neurological driver of some of this distal weakness. And then obviously you can get into your true lumbopelvic exam and you'll probably notice some range of motion, mechanical issues in their low back and pelvis. Point of this is you are going to be doing your service, your client a disservice if you go and do manual therapy on their Achilles, teach them gastroc soleus stretches and strengthen their calf. That's why I think some of the eccentric research is so convoluted is, yeah, eccentrics for your gastroc soleus and Achilles are beneficial. You're creating blood flow, circulation, strength, load. It's important. But, you know, they used to say eccentrics are the best. Now they say isometrics are the best. I guarantee in a few years they'll say concentrics are the best. But really the reason why it's so convoluted is you're treating the symptom rather than the cause. So some people will work, some people it won't. You need to obviously load the tissue and get the inflamed tissue better, but you've got to get up that kinetic chain. So again, the next time you see someone walk into your clinic, you see foot ankle issues, sorry, particularly on the posterior chain of the foot ankle, think about their back. In regards to the foot ankle, what you'll typically see is more of a medial bias to the Achilles issues or to the calf issues. And a lot of that stems from compensation in the foot. So usually they'll be hanging out on that medial calcaneus, so that kind of pronated, if you want to use that word, flattened heel. You'll notice some midfoot issues. You maybe notice the foot's kind of twisted out or externally rotated. All those things not only, all those things, what they do is they create more of a medial bias to loading the Achilles. So you're going to typically notice issues there. So when you get into the Achilles itself, again, this is secondary or not the driver, but does need to be addressed, is make sure you're working on Achilles side bend, the sheath movement, decompression of the Achilles underneath its underneathing structures, as well as the kind of general fascial band of the Achilles insertion along all aspects of that posterior, medial, and lateral calcaneus. All right, hopefully that was somewhat beneficial. If you need some more info, feel free to reach out. But again, gastroc, Achilles, address it. Definitely appease your patient or your client by showing that you care about it and recognize it. But think, gosh, the sooner I can get into this hip and low back, the sooner I can get the fascial and nerve mobility better and get control of triple extension, hip, knee, ankle extension, the better the long-term results are. All right, more fun content to come. Have a good day.